Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. It does feel a bit kind of like coming home, really, because there's quite a few people that we know here, and it's great to come. And it's a shame Martin's not here. I had coffee with him the other week, and he said, Phil, you've only got two sermons, and I've heard those, so I'm going to Estonia, which was one of those things he does. But yeah, it's been great over the years to touch base and to be in churches with Stuart and Marion and Martin and Margaret, and just to see what God does. You know, sometimes kind of through life, we kind of get into a pattern and I don't know where we're going, and God throws some curveballs at us sometimes and moves us around. And at the time you think, I wonder what that's about. And it doesn't seem right, but God has ways of sorting things out. He's an amazing God, and we just love him, and are privileged to serve him. You know, we all are, because we're all servants of God. Just because some of us do it and, you know, do it full time, and some do it part time. In fact, we all do it full time. Just some of us get paid for doing it full time. But it's a great privilege to serve our amazing God. And I just got. Before I start my talk, I feel like God's given me a word for you this morning. It's now, before you go, well, that filly hears words when he's sitting there. This is a word I had a little while ago, but I just feel it's right for you this morning, if that's okay. So if you can bear with me for a moment, I want you to think a little bit about icebergs, okay? And an iceberg is a strange piece of kit, really. It's a great big lump of ice, like the name suggests. But if you know anything about icebergs, the majority of the iceberg is underwater. Yeah, and you only see, apparently you see 1/10 of it. I think that's right. 9/10 of the iceberg is underwater. And I feel a couple of things. God said, I need my people to be more like icebergs. Now, please don't hear that as being cold and, you know, unfriendly. Because I feel like God is saying, there needs to be a lot more going on underneath than people see on the top. You know, sometimes we don't want to be like balloons. You blow up a balloon and it kind of floats about and skips around all over the place. But the iceberg, when it breaks off and starts to go in the flow, nothing much moves it, you know. Nothing much moves an iceberg. Because you have depth in your character and depth in what God's given you. When a kind of shipload, if you like, a trouble comes along and whacks into you, you don't get pushed off course. But you're steadfast, you're going, there's more going on underneath than there is on the top. And I just want to encourage you, maybe somebody's feeling like, well, I feel like I'm being bashed. But just keep going deeper into God. Just keep putting your roots down, because you will stand firm when you do that. You will not be blown around, you will not be pushed off course, because actually there's more going on underneath than is seen on the top. And God wants you to be those people with depth and character, wants us all to be like that. With those people that keep going when troubles wham us, when they keep pushing us. Because the truth is, the Bible tells us that in this world you will find trouble, okay? Sometimes people talk about becoming a Christian as if suddenly all your troubles are gone. No, they're not. You've just got someone to go through them with you. In this world you will have trouble, but it goes on to say, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So there's victory through that, but we're going to hit trouble. But when trouble hits us, we want to make sure that actually we have those foundations, that sense of stuff right underneath that goes, you know what, we're solid in God, we're holding firm in God. So that's just a kind of little encouragement for you, and maybe some of you think, well, maybe I need to build deeper because trouble will come your way. That's, I'm just trying to cheer you up this morning, really. No wonder Martin went to Estonia. I bet the rest of you think, I wish we'd gone to Estonia as well. Yeah, that's why he didn't invite me to go, probably. So this morning I want to talk about something that we've already mentioned, really, and that's the importance of loving God. And it is to do with kind of building as well, because that building that God wants from us is that sense of love and appreciation and commitment of who he is and how much we love him. You know, we're so thrilled that actually we're friends with you guys, because it means that we can invite Martin over to preach occasionally. And we had him over on the 6th of December, and I'm going to make a confession there about our church, and that is that last year, you know when you feel like you plateau a bit? Felt like in 2018 we'd plateaued a bit, and it's just a horrible feeling. And I thought, well, you know, we haven't baptized, I don't know whether we baptized anybody in 2018. If we did, it was one or two. And we have a church in Durham who borrow our baptistry, and they were borrowing it about every 2 months, and I'm not happy with that. I'm going, oh God, you know, how come they're using our baptistry and we're not using it? So Martin came. I said, we've got to get some evangelism going, prayer and evangelism. So we're majoring on prayer. And we said, let's get Martin, let's get an evangelist over to see what happens. So Martin came on the 6th of December. And I think we had about four, what's that? January. Oh, January, that's right. Yeah, it was after Christmas, I remember now. It's my age, you know, I'm getting on a bit. So anyway, Martin came 6th of January and he preached the gospel as he does. And we had some responses. About four people, I think, respond, four or five people respond. And you just go, oh, fantastic. And then this Easter, we had seven baptisms. And it's just like, oh, thank you, God, for coming and bringing some life. You know, we just had, we had about 400 people turn up for these baptisms. Thankfully, only seven of those got baptized, because that would have been taking a little while. But it was like, so can I just say thank you so much for being part of you and feeling like, you know, we're together in this, because we're all on the same team, aren't we? We want to see God come and do some great things across the Tees Valley, really. Okay, I ought to start on my talk, didn't I? Otherwise, we'll be here all afternoon. Or I will be, and you'll all be gone. So, the talk is the importance of loving God. So, if we just kind of flip into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, Moses has just received the Ten Commandments, and he's talking to the people about how important it is to be obedient to God, to hold on to those commandments. And then, just after that, he says this, and I like this, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." It's as if he said, here's all the commandments, here they are, I'm laying them all out before you, but here you go. This one is really, 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 really important. It's not even specifically one of the ten. It kind of supersedes the ten. Love God with everything you got. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, the Pharisees and the Sadducees have been questioning Jesus, trying to catch him out. And so they try this question with him. They ask this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." Isn't it interesting how when we read in the Old Testament from like the place of the law, if you like, the age of the law, through to the age of grace in the New Testament, this commandment is at the center of both. It's at the center of the law and it's at the center of grace. Love God with everything you have. Notice that Jesus adds a second command, because the natural outworking of loving God is to love other people. You know what Jesus says? A bit like, if you say you love me but hate somebody, then you're a liar. Because loving God helps us to love other people. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, if you've read that as well, you'll notice that in this command, the word strength is added as well, which is in the Old Testament. So Mark says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength." It's kind of everything you have, love God. Love God with every fiber of your being. It could be translated as that, couldn't it? Just love God with everything you have. Can you feel the kind of intensity that God really, really wants us to love him? You see, the same intensity with which he loves us. You know, God is an intense God. He's a jealous God. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And he's calling us to love him. It's not good enough just to love God, you know, like you love chocolate or you love something else. Let me just read you this little story I found in here, which is a wonderful example of some kind of love. And it's titled Love Letter Lament. Okay? It says this: Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the lottery. Kind of love is not really the love God's looking for. You know, sometimes we love to get, don't we? You know, we can love with, one old minister used to say, we can love with a hook on. In other words, we throw out our love and we try and wind something back in. What are we going to get for our love? That's not the kind of love God's looking for, and it's certainly not the kind of love God gives. We've got to love God with all that we have, so that when tough times come, when a curveball comes at us, it doesn't throw us off course, doesn't throw us off balance, but we love God. So is this love for God really important? Yes, it is. Because Jesus goes on to say this: there is no greater command than these two commands, loving God with all that we have and loving our neighbours like ourselves. Don't you think it's incredible that you can read through all the scripture, you can do all the kind of theological training you want to, which is all good stuff, you can read loads of books on various things, but here's the greatest two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Because all the law and the prophets hang on those two things. They're the hooks that enable us to hold up everything else. See, if we don't have our love for God, we got nothing. We've got nothing without our relationship with God. I'd go so far as to say, if we could crack those two commands, if we could get those two things really settled into us, I suggest we'd once again turn the world upside down, like the disciples did. See, loving God with all that we have. Stuart said earlier, I hope, he said, I think he said something like this, he'll tell me if I misquote him. He said something like, I hope you're thinking more about where you're going to be with God than where you are right now. I hope you're thinking more about what does God want me to do than what does work want me to do, you know. I hope you're thinking more about promotion in the kingdom with God than you are about promotion at work. Hope you're thinking more about God in this life rather than what you can build for yourself and what you can get for yourself. We've got to love God with everything we have. You see, the truth is, when I said that Martin said to me, Phil, you've only got a couple of talks, and I've heard them. Now, I was probably misquoting him slightly. In fact, drastically. But the truth is, I do feel like, and probably a lot of us that preach do, there is kind of a life message that we carry with us. And my life message is, you really need to get a deep relationship with God, a real living relationship. I preach it most Sundays, or mention it most Sundays when I'm preaching at King's, because that personal relationship is the key to moving on, and the key to holding fast to God. One old Bible teacher came up to us when we were at Bible college, a guy called Bob Mumford, some of you will have heard of him. And he said this, he said, I don't so much as want to teach you something. He said, I want to break off a piece of my heart, I'm going to get emotional now, and give it to you. And that was exactly what he broke off a piece of his heart. And he said, I want to give that to you. See, and it's almost like, I suppose I want to say this, I want to break off a bit of my heart and go, do you know what, can you catch hold of the way God wants to love you? and the way you need to love God. Can you catch hold of that? Because that's what God wants to do. Let's take a little closer look at how we're supposed to love God. Well, first of all, we said with all of our heart. You see, the heart is depicted in the Bible as the center of our being, the center of our emotions. We use the term heart in that way today. You know, I love you with all of my heart, we say. It's not a statement suggesting that we love someone with all of our blood pump, is it? You know, there's something more than that. We say with heartfelt thanks. We say things like, my heart skipped a beat. Now, if your heart is skipping a beat, you probably need to see the doctor. But you know, sometimes you get that, whoa, wow, God's just touched me. We were in worship this morning and just felt God go, I love you. You know, your heart go, wow, wow, wow. See, the Bible says God looks at the heart. He's always interested in what's going on inside. What's happening in here? You can have all kinds of things happening out here, and hopefully it's an overflow of the heart. But he's always looking inside and going, what's going on inside? And God's not checking up when he looks at our heart to see if our arteries are all right or the old muscles in good nick. He's looking to say, hey, what's going on? Are you connecting to me? Do you still love me? See, some people are frightened of putting God and feelings and emotion together. But being a Christian turns your life upside down. Of course it's emotional. Of course we have that connection with God. Of course there are things going on. If you don't have an emotional connection with God, you probably need an 18-inch conversion from your head to your heart. Because God wants to touch your heart deep inside. See, God's not looking for a business relationship with you. He's not looking for you to sign on the dotted line and go, I've signed up for you, God. He's looking for a marriage commitment, which says, do you know what? I love you so much. We're in this together forever. We're in this together forever. See, God is your father. He's not some Victorian father who stands aloof from his kids. He's the kind of father who came in his son Jesus Christ and gave his life for you. God is the one who loves you like no one else can ever love you or will ever love you. He's the father who gave his life for you. You remember how Jesus wept over Jerusalem. That's the sort of love God has. He looks and he weeps when people don't love him. He weeps for the lost. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he said, oh, I'd love to gather you like a hen. I'd love for you to come under my protection, under my love. But you won't come. But Jesus might be calling out to someone here today saying, I'd love you to come. Will you come? He wants you to come. He's waiting for you to come. He's not standing aloof and going, actually, you haven't fulfilled all these things. Jesus is saying, I just want you to come. You come close. Let me put my arms around you and draw you to myself. God is the one who throws a party in heaven every time someone comes to know him, every time he gets another kid. See, God loves you with all of his heart. With all of his heart. So we're to love God with all our hearts and then with all our souls. So what's our souls really? Well, it's the kind of essence of our being. It's the eternal part of us. It's the bit God knew before we were born and the bit that will go and with us when we die. Hopefully our souls will be connected to a new body that will be a bit better than the old one we've got. Because I've tried to make this old body good for the last 40 years. I've tried to lose weight and, you know, go to the gym and end up coming out looking like a Greek god. And I've always come out looking more like Buddha. But you know, we're going to have new bodies in heaven. And our soul is like that eternal part of us. Your eternal perspective comes from there, from the desire to love God through this life and into eternity. It's an everlasting love. And it's a response to God's love for us. We need to love God with our hearts, with our soul, and with our mind. Loving God is not just an emotion. It's not just coming from the essence of our being, from our heart and from our soul. Love is also a decision that we make. Do you know that? You make a decision to love. And we make decisions in our minds. If our love for God is all in the mind and void of emotional connections, what a dreadful thing that is. Can you imagine an intimate relationship devoid of emotion? In fact, it's impossible, isn't it? It's a bit of an oxymoron that you can't have a close relationship devoid of emotion. But real love does demand making right decisions. Our Tim, he's a professional drummer. So he travels around a lot, and right now he's in Germany. He's gone on a little tour in Germany. So he's around a lot, and he's like me. He's a good looking lad. He's got hair. He hasn't got a belly. So he's got a lot going for him, really. And he works with a guy who is... Well, Tim says this. I said, how's Harry, Tim? He said, I'll tell you what, Dad, he's a bit of a player. Bit of a player. Tell me what that means in old language so I understand. He said, well, he's a bit of a womanizer, to be honest. He said, you know, wherever he goes, he's always sort of... So he said to me the other day, Dad, he said, Tim, how do you stay faithful to Lucy when temptation, an opportunity to be unfaithful, is all around you? And I was really impressed with Tim's answer, actually, because in some ways he's not really going on with God massively. He has a faith in God, but he struggles a bit. And he said this, sometimes, Harry, love is a decision, not just a feeling. And I thought, oh, blimey, he should be up preaching, not me. So it's important that we love God with all of our minds. That's why the Bible tells us to take every thought captive. Everything starts with a thought. Nothing works in our bodies without a command from our mind. No wonder the Bible tells us to fill our thinking, to fill our thoughts with good things, with right things, with noble things, with godly things. See, sometimes and some days you might be tempted to be unfaithful to God. Judas was unfaithful to God. Peter was unfaithful to God. Those times when we're tempted to make wrong decisions, we need to have the fortitude, we need to have the love for God that helps us to make right decisions. So fill your mind with good thoughts, with God thoughts. And then with all of our strength, we're to love God with all of our strength. And I've put something really deep and meaningful here and theological. Give your love to God plenty of oomph. Oomph is a deep biblical word. It's translated in the Greek, oomph. In fact, in Hebrew, it's oomph. It's just kind of oomph everywhere. Love God with plenty of oomph, eh? Don't love God with the strength of a wet handshake. Don't you just hate wet, weak, wobbly handshakes? I'm sorry if you're one of those kind of weak, wobbly handshake people, but I do have some advice for you. Don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. In fact, give someone a hug. It's much better to give someone a hug. I know it's a little emotional to hug people, but I promise you, there is life after hugs. Okay. Love God with all of your strength. Hey, you know, really go for it. Really go for it. I know when you love God with everything, it's risky. When you love anything with everything, it's risky. But the rewards of loving God with everything you have are enormous. Are enormous. See, no matter how much you manage to love God, you can never love Him more than He loves you. Love Him with every fiber of your being. See, when we're encouraging people to give to the church or whatever, sometimes, about every year, we probably have a little talk about giving. I don't know whether you have that here occasionally. But we'll say, you know, you can't outgive God. You know, and it's great to give, and it's part of our worship to give. Can't outgive God. But I want to suggest this. You can never outlove God either. You can't outgive God. You can't outlove God. You can't outlast God. I mean, if you can't do anything more than God, you can never outlove Him. So how is loving God really going to help us, if you like, in our daily lives and what we do? I'm going to suggest just four ways this morning. Loving God helps you serve Him better, and He can use you more. So I want to think about Peter for a moment. Peter had let Jesus down when Jesus was probably in his greatest hour of need. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? Peter, the one who was always ready to spout off about things. He was going to be the one that would stand alongside Jesus. He would never leave Jesus. Man, he was, you know, he was going to be the boy. He was going to be the one that stood there with him. Peter was full of well-meaning promises. But what did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times. And Peter must have felt awful, mustn't he, over that? Because I think Peter had a real desire to love God. He really loved God. But maybe he didn't quite have that depth, and maybe he wasn't quite the iceberg yet. You know, maybe he was just working on the... Maybe he was 50-50, 50 above, 50 below, I don't know. But he couldn't find the resolve in him to stand firm for Jesus. But I love what God does, or what Jesus does in John chapter 21. How Jesus reinstates Peter. Notice how he reinstates him. Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. Pretty much the same question three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me more than anything else? More than these things? Do you love me? See, love was the prerequisite for Peter carrying out all that Jesus had for him to do. He didn't ask him, Peter, do you understand all the law and the prophets? Can you quote the Torah? Can you? No, Jesus said, I'll tell you what, this is going to be the biggie. Do you really love me, Peter? Is there something going on in you? Even though you deny me, do you really love me? Because I want to bring you back. I want to bring you back. You see, God's looking for those of us who maybe feel, well, we've let God down in the past. I'm sitting here thinking maybe, yeah, it's okay, but you know, I've failed God. God wants to say to you today, do you know what? I love you. I want to bring you back. Rekindle that love for God. Because again, God is there with His arms open, waiting for you to come back to Him. So if we love God with everything we have, then God can use us more. Jesus there reinstates Peter, uses Peter in an amazing way. The other thing is, if we really love God, we can't hold grudges. 1 John chapter 4, 20 says, if you say you love God and hate your brother or sister, then you're a liar. God, that's tough, isn't it? That's tough. You're a liar. They're strong words, but they're right and true. If you're holding hate or grudges or unforgiveness towards someone, you need to work on your love for God, because you probably don't love Him enough. Ooh, gosh. Let me tell you a little story that happened to me a long time ago. We had some interesting things go on in our lives, and some people kind of let us down. I remember there was some people that we knew a long, long time ago, and they were coming to lead our church down back in Oxfordshire, and things went wrong, and they had to step down. They just moved across to the little town we were in. Even the first Sunday that this couple were there to take the church, they had to stand down from leading the church. So the guy had left his job. He'd moved to a different place, moved to our town, and he was left with nothing. And so what Sally and I did, we got alongside them. We encouraged them, you know, we kind of, I don't know, I found him a job in the building. He wasn't a builder, he was a teacher, but we found him a job in our building company, and found him a car and kind of helped these people. I stood with them, and we used to go around taking meals, and because, you know, they were struggling with all kinds of various stuff, and he wasn't sure whether he was ever going to get back into full-time Christian work, and we kind of come, yeah, you know, come on, just keep going, keep him with God. And you do that kind of thing, and it's, I'm not saying that because we're good. Most people would do that with people who were struggling in those areas. But then we hit a bad time, and I had a phone call from this guy thinking it'd be nice to talk to him because he'll understand a bit. And he just said, "Yeah, actually, Phil, I think you're really wrong, and I think, you know, you've upset people, and I think you're really wrong, and, you know, we really don't want to know you." And it was like, oh, no. Oh, God, dear, oh, dear. What am I going to do with that? And so for a long time, I didn't think I held a grudge, but actually somewhere inside me, something wasn't right. And I was thinking about this couple one morning, and I was kind of sitting in my little study and kind of praying, having some time with God. And God often starts conversations with me like this. He often starts off with, you know your trouble, don't you, Phil? No, but I bet you're going to tell me. You know, he's like that, isn't he? And he says, you know your trouble, don't you? And I said, no, I don't, God. He says, you don't love me enough. I thought I did. Well, you don't. He said, because if you did, you wouldn't feel like you do towards these people. Cut me. Oh, you see, because we want to justify what we do and the way we feel about people through what they've done to us or the way we feel unfairly treated. And God said, well, that doesn't cut it. That doesn't cut it. If you love me, you say you love me, but you are at a relationship with someone, you're in trouble. You're not telling the truth. So I share that with you because I want you to know that actually God's told me that, Phil, you don't love me enough. You don't love me enough because you've got a wrong attitude. You've got a wrong perspective on people. Now, look, just to finish off this story a little bit. See, whenever that happens, God nearly always causes you to go and do something. Because that's the difficult bit, isn't it? See, we say, yeah, okay, God, I'm going to love you more and I'm going to forgive these people. And God says, no, well, you probably need to go and see them then. And you go, oh, Lord, that's another step. See, because that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? You know, it's great in theory. You know, we can forgive everyone in theory. In practice, when you've got to go do something, it becomes more difficult. And so, first of all, Sally had a relationship with this other guy, Sally, and phoned her up and said, you know, maybe we should meet for coffee. So I thought, that's fine. Sally can deal with it. Be good. Because as guys, you know, we are good at kind of palming stuff off a little bit. So then Sally came back from this meeting and said, by the way, Phil, we're meeting them both for lunch next week. Oh, are we? Are we? So then you really have to kind of go, okay, God, I've really got to sort myself out now with you. But you see, loving God with everything we have causes us to do things. It's not like a passive. You can't just go, I love God with everything. No, well, then if you do, there are things that need to happen in your life. There are things you need to put right. There are things that God will press on you to do and go, come on, this is not right. I want it put right. And so loving God with everything we have is tough, okay? It's wonderful, but it's tough. So loving God, you can't hold grudges. Loving God helps you to be obedient to Him. Loving God helps you be obedient. If you love me, keep my commands, Jesus says. See, I kind of love that statement because it's almost like Jesus saying, by the way, if you love me, guys, you will keep my commands. You know that. It's just like the natural outworking of loving God. Because when you love someone deeply, what do you want to do? You want to please them, don't you? You want to do what blesses them. You want to do what they suggest you might do for them. And that's the same when we love God with all our heart. We want to keep doing the things that we're told to do. That's what enables us to move from places. That's what enables us to go and do strange things. Because why? Well, we're following God. And what He calls us to do, we know He loves us so much. So He's not going to send us to things that really don't touch our hearts and bless us. And also it helps us to stay right with God and do the things He calls us to do. So it helps us to keep His commands. And then the fourth thing, God always looks at the heart. Isn't it amazing how easily we can get hooked up in all kinds of religious mumbo-jumbo regarding our Christian faith and our walk with God? Isn't it strange how it's quite easy for things to become complicated in church and political and all kinds of stuff going on? And God says in this, I'm looking at your heart. I'm still looking at your heart. We sometimes want people to conform to a certain traditional behaviour, or we want people to conform in a way. And isn't it surprising how quickly we start judging other people for the way they do things? See, God looks at the heart. What's going on inside? What kind of relationship is being built? Now, of course, there are right and wrong ways to behave. But we mustn't judge on the external. God judges the internal. He looks at the very centre of our being, the centre of our love for Him, the centre of all that we're trying to build with God. I just want to encourage you in your walk with God, and I'm probably speaking to people who already do this. I want to encourage you to make time for God. Sometimes we can be so busy with things, so busy with even church stuff sometimes, that we don't make time to sit and be with God. Because, you know, as well as us talking to God, God wants to talk to us. You know, God is waiting to say stuff to you, don't you? He's waiting to speak with you. And unless we sit quietly sometimes, we don't hear what He has to say. Because very often God's in that still small voice, isn't He? You know, there's all stuff going on around, there's a storm around, and then suddenly God says, I want to encourage you, make time with God. And also encourage you all as you go forward, as a church together as well, to love God with every fibre of your being. And I know that's what you'll be taught to do here. That's why I can preach this with confidence, because I know the guys who lead the church here. I know Martin, I know Stuart, I know the other guys, and there's a sense in which I know that's their hearts, to love God with everything. So I want to encourage you to love God with everything. Because, you know, we want to see the kingdom of God grow right throughout this region, don't we? It's great. I was thrilled when Martin told me about the church in Estonia and the church in Redcar. Because you need to know, I'm thrilled. See, your success is our success. You know that, don't you? Because we're all working for the kingdom. So whenever people come and say, I'll tell you what, we've had a great... I'm going, fantastic. Fantastic. Wow, it's because the kingdom of God is growing. It's about the kingdom. Now, he comes and he builds our little kind of churches, but the kingdom's bigger than that, isn't it? The kingdom of God is huge. And I want to encourage you to keep going. Every fibre of your being, love God and keep going forward. Because we want to see God do some amazing things through the Tees Valley, through County Durham, which is what we like to be called in Darlington, obviously. But, you know, God wants to do some great stuff. He wants to come. Yeah. You see, I said to you earlier, that we've been majoring on prayer, Kings, and I built this prayer wall. And it's a rustic prayer wall, I call it. People say it's a bit rough, Phil. I say it's rustic. And it's bespoke. I can guarantee there's not another one like it. And what it is, we've got this wall, and it's got some weld mesh in it, little weld mesh, and so we've got a table on the end where you write prayers, roll up, and stick it in these weld mesh things. You get the kind of picture. And we've been just pushing that only because we want people to visualize prayer. You know, how many of us are praying? What are we praying for? So we have different colors in it. We have, like, if you're praying for people to become Christians, write it on a red piece of paper and stick it in there. We have different colours for different things. But what it's done is it increased people and going, oh, look, we're praying for that many people. You know, we're praying for healing for this many people. We're seeing answers to prayer. We've got a green colour for answers to prayer now, you know. So now we can go and read and go, God's really answering prayer. So God's got us majoring on that, majoring on reaching out, looking outwards all the time. And we found prayer has been a real key to alphas and stuff. We've got some alphas starting in homes, got one started last week. And Liz, who's running the Alpha, she said, I've never known it so easy to invite people. She said, people are actually inviting themselves. People are going on her Facebook page and going, oh, I see you're running an Alpha course, can we come? Because prayer kind of loosens everything up. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of going off piste a bit there, but I just want to, prayer is like, you're talking with God and, you know, your heart for God, your love for God, and praying for God gives you love for the lost, and yeah, God is good. Well, look, you guys, I'm done. So God bless you all. Thank you so much. It's been great to be with you.